Dykes and Harris, Dykes and Ferris, tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell there are no rich no more.
Oh, there you go. There's that pesky music again. That means that guy's back here on RBN on the Sunday evening slot. Roger Sales, your host on the RBN Network Radio Ranch Edition on this September the 11th commemoration date. What's that, 21 years ago, huh? Remember where you are? Well, most of us do, like the JFK assassination, for those of you who are long enough in the tooth to remember that. We gather together here for 2 hours on Sunday evening to talk about your freedom, maybe a way you can change the world individually, and if we get enough individuals doing that, who knows, we may can do it collectively. Still a work in progress, this freedom thing, and so here we kick off the Sunday night edition. I guess one of the most relevant things that happened to me this week, for us, I suppose, is Monday night. We got a chance to be on a bigger platform, and that would be Mr. John B. Wells' Caravan to Midnight. I don't remember. I would feel like we talked about it last week because it was the next day, but I don't remember. Regardless, that happened, and I was very pleased with the interview, and I think John was too, pretty startled. And it's the first time I've ever had any contact with John. Sam, we got a little, sounds like some kind of scratchy white noise in the background. Do you hear that? Okay, I'm getting a little funky. There, it just straightened out. So good, whatever that was is gone. Monday night, I got a chance to meet and talk, at least via a telephone line, with Mr. John B. Wells, who I've always admired for an awful long time because of my lifelong radio background and all things radio and that I've been involved in. And you can't help but admire somebody that's made it to the big time. And I have to say, John's got as good a radio voice as I've ever heard. So that was quite a thrill for me to hook up with him on that level and get this information out. Of course, the problem that we had there Monday night is the same problem we always have when you're trying to get across complex information like this to somebody for the first time is interruptions and the proper amount of time to cover it, because it's very difficult to cover this. And you can do it in 2 hours, but an hour and a half with commercial breaks involved, even though he waived their local breaks, was still difficult. Didn't get through it all. We're scheduled, I don't know which night yet, but I'll be on one night on Caravan again this week. I'm waiting to hear on what night they choose. So looking forward to getting with John B. Wells and his audience, pretty substantial audience, and cover the back half of this. And he was, I got to hand it to John, and I don't know, I've speculated, I haven't been able to talk with him. We were going to try and get a chance to speak, and we haven't had that. But being a radio guy, I understand very well that, especially if you're doing guests, that you do show prep, show preparation. And I don't know if John, although he obviously is a consummate professional, I'm not sure if he did that or not. But what surprised me, I kind of have a feeling that he must have, because he picked it up real quick. I've been doing this and presenting it to people long enough that I can pretty well tell when somebody gets it. Okay, you just see the light come on in their eyes. In this case, I could hear it come on in his voice and the questions that he was asking. So I don't know whether he's just super sharp or whether he'd done a super consummate professional and done his show prep, but he got it pretty quickly through that interview. And he was very excited about what he heard and asked me a couple of very poignant questions. Then we ran out of time. But it was quite an experience for me. I'm looking forward to getting back on there. They have a real nice organization, and he's got an incredibly aware audience of people that are aware of things like the RBN audience here. Maybe not as aware as you guys, but maybe so, you know. Anyway, so looking forward to getting back over there. You might check. I told Tom, I spoke with Tom D earlier today, and Tom said when I find out to let him know, and I sent him the link to the first broadcast, which we found it over on, somebody found it and sent it to me on Rumble, so it's over there. But, and I think Tom's going to post those at some point, I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll find out about that as we go forward here in this coming week. And, of course, we're not in a holiday week, and that was Labor Day night. So we'll see how that goes. Pretty exciting, though, and we'll see what other doors that opens. That's a mighty big door. I know the hits on my website went absolutely phenomenal. The guy that runs the site told me that we had a 1,700% increase on traffic. Pretty substantial. So anyway, we'll see where that pans out. It's the Sunday night edition here at RBN. That it means that mainly this platform is for you, the audience, and answer questions and make any comments you'd like, which is all right. And so we'll go forward on that. Let me give the number out here at the start. You probably already have it, but if you don't, I'll give it to you anyway. Area code 512. And the prefix is 248, and the suffix is 8252. I'll repeat it one time without the interruptions. 512-248-8252. You'd like to call in, ask a question, make a comment, you'd be most welcome. My voice is still a little funky. It got funky the afternoon of that interview with John B., and I guess I've just been doing a lot of radio lately. You know, I do two shows on Sunday. I do a show earlier in the day on Patriot Soapbox Network, and then come over here and visit with you guys for a couple hours in the evening. And I've increased my daily show to 6 days a week from Monday to Saturday. But it's just taken a strain on my voice here lately. I thought it had gotten a little bit better, but it's tending to be a little bit raspier here. So, pretty hard to be some sort of an announcer when your voice isn't working up to Cracker Jack, but we will trudge on. So if any of you'd like to call, I'd like to have you talk for a little while. Maybe you got some good questions and stuff. And otherwise than that, it's just an exciting time. There's a lot of things happening negative. There's a lot of things happening positive. And I think our enemies are finding themselves in a little bit of a corner. You know, what happens to these guys is they tell everything based on lies. And as we know from our research here, the whole system is based on the lie and the color of law fraud that you're a black slave after the Civil War. And so all the other lies that have been heaped on top of that, and at some point those lies catch up with you. And I think that's what's happening to these people right now. So they're getting exposed on every front, on the COVID front, on the election front, and on the medical front. And there's not reports coming out to the extent of people that are dropping over dead right now, but there's ambient reports. There's things on the side. You're not seeing accumulation of that on very many news organizations, but boy, the reports from people on people in their lives dying is just staggering, really. And I picked that up from Jeff Rentz. I listen to Rentz in the evenings quite often when he has somebody on there, and I'm particularly impressed with he and a PhD gal from MIT named Erica Kahn that have been going over this COVID stuff for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, and they have really startling information. So I think a call came in. Sam, who we got there? All right, let's see if we can talk to Jimmy here. That sound goes away and it comes back. Is Jimmy there? Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good, all in all. How about you?
Well, I'm fantastic. I really like your show.
Thank you.
My question is, my wife is halfway on board But somehow she thinks this will mess with my son's military secret credentials.
Well, look, first of all, tell your wife this is an individual decision. It doesn't feed over on the rest of the family.
Right. I mean, he's got secret military credentials, and she thinks it'll work against him. But I don't.
I don't see how that could happen, really. If he were to do it, I'm not sure what the repercussions of that was. I just got an email from a guy that heard me on the Well Show who has a list of 50 questions for me, which is a little bit it's a little difficult. You know, I used to could do that, and I would do that with people, and they ask a whole bunch of questions. It takes a lot of time on my part because you can't answer these questions simply. You know, most of the questions here are not a yes or no answer. And so it takes a lot of time drafting that up, and it's just gotten to the point, the progress of this project here, where I just flat don't have the time. I refuse to do it. You know, if you want to come on, I'm on the radio 7 days a week for people just like you, Jimmy, to call and ask questions. Okay, so that takes a lot of the typing and the reading because I've got eye challenges out of the way. And two-dimensional conversation is just usually not the best type. Email's not the best type. But anyway, this guy, as you were directly pointing to, he's a federal employee. And he's going, what forms do I file? I'm going, you know, I guess you've been working for the federal government too long. We don't have any forms here. You know, we got an affidavit. You can make out your statement and stuff and send it in, but there's no form attached. As I'm thinking about that, because I just read it right before we went on the air, there is one thing that a federal employee can't get out of that you particularly could, Jimmy, for example, is my understanding that if you work for the federal government, you can't get out of the income tax system. And the reason for that is because it's the federal income. Excuse me. It's the federal income tax system, and you're a federal employee. And now it goes back to the roots of this jurisdictional argument. If you receive the benefit, you owe the duty. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, he receives the benefit because he works for the federal government, so he therefore owes the duty. You know when the first income tax was put into effect, Jimmy?
Civil War, I think.
That's correct. Civil War. Abraham Lincoln levied an income tax.
Yes, sir.
And the only people that were required to pay it were federal employees.
Right.
Okay. So, again, it's back to this. If you receive the benefit, you owe the duty. I don't think it would have. I'm not sure. It's just an area. I don't believe I've ever dealt directly with somebody that's a federal employee that wants to do this before. But I know they don't, at least my knowledge at this point, they couldn't get out of the income tax system. But they might could pursue some of the other things if they wanted to. He was asking about federal retirement. I just don't know, you know. Social Security, now that's a different story. And I did find out something really, really interesting this week that I've never been able to nail down before. And one of my real good students got on the SSN website and started going through there, and he pulled up some stuff and he read it to us on the air. And I've always had a question because I know that they classify things as benefits, okay? But here's what the rubber meets the road on that.
Yeah.
If you've signed up for the Social Security system, you don't have to be a citizen of the United States to do that, by the way. Anybody in the world can contract with Social Security, okay? But if you've contributed to 40 quarters, then anything that comes off of that, you're vested in that contract. Let's put it that way, okay? So you might get your Social Security payment back. And the reason this came up was from the John B. Wells Show, actually, was a gal in Texas who unfortunately has MS, multiple sclerosis, in a nursing home, requires total care, and it's all being covered by Medicare, Medicaid. And she wrote me, really nice lady, and said, does this affect what I'm doing here? And so that's what kind of spurned the conversation. And so what we were able to take away from it is, even in this lady's situation, because she had paid in for 40 quarters to Social Security, she's vested in the contract, and they got to pay her. Where the word benefits comes from is from people that are getting payments out of the Social Security fund that are not vested 40 quarters in it. And that is considered a benefit. The other is considered part of your contractual agreement with the Social Security Administration. So I thought that was very interesting because I never had a clear-cut line of demarcation in my mind as to what qualifies as a benefit or not. But if you've paid in for 40 quarters, anything you draw out of there is not considered a benefit, even though they might call it that.
Okay,
so,
one more question.
Your son, all right, well, on your son, let's go back to that.
Oh, no, go back to my son, please.
Okay, all right. He's in the military. He's got his own thing. You changing your status or your wife changing your status has nothing to do with him.
I didn't think so either, but she's a worrywart.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that get that way about this, and I understand they're conditioned into fearing these people and all of their power and everything, and the only power they've got is the power we gave them. So they're working under your consent. If you're not happy with it, take it away. If you don't want to do that, don't do it. I've never told anybody to do this. Not one time in the 30 years I've been messing with it. Okay, and it's your decision. It's just as much your decision as if you want to follow Jesus Christ or not. Okay, those are personal decisions, and this one too. Okay, so that's. My duty here, Jimmy, to me, is to tell people like yourself and others that they got a choice they didn't know they had. And if you want to follow up on the choice and remove yourself from this system, I show you what they've done, how they've done it, and as best I can, the things that it affects, you know. And for all these people out there, I want to reemphasize this. I'm going on 12 years of teaching people how to remove themselves from the federal system. Not yet 12. It'll be 12 in the spring, but we're getting there, okay? And I don't have any earthly idea of how many people have filed this paperwork, Jimmy. I just don't have it because most of them don't come to me. They copy the affidavit right out of my book word for word, or they do whatever they do, and they send it in, you know? But I do know this. If any of them had any problem, like your wife's thinking might be up there revolving around your son or any of this stuff, if anybody that's filed this paperwork had a problem that was directly related to something in their life from filing this, I got to believe they'd find a way to get a hold of me and ask questions. Don't you think? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, I've never had one of those calls in almost 12 years. Never one time on any aspect of anybody's life that's been affected negatively by this. That's a pretty good unblemished track record to me. Now, let's look at it from the light of the feds and the bad guys here. They've gone to a lot of lengths. They've killed a lot of people. They've done all kinds of fraud to get this thing in a position where they can ask you those two questions, and you don't know what they're asking you, and you answer yes. So they're just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of fraud, okay? And I don't know that that doesn't hold them back in some instances from possibly pursuing somebody on an issue and risk bringing this information out into some sort of a public forum, courtroom, etc. So that may be part of it too. I've often suspected that. There, I know one thing that I've been able to ascertain over all these years. They're scared to death of this because they got no answer for it. See, if you go back to the protocols, you ever read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
You know, in there where it says if you ever get caught, deny, deny, deny?
It works every time.
It doesn't work for them here because they don't ever try it.
Right.
They don't ever deny this affidavit going into the Secretary of State. Now, they will send out occasionally what I call a bluff letter with passport applications.
Right.
And it's very, very skillfully worded. And if you don't know your stuff, you will acquiesce to their point of view. But if you know their stuff, it's easy to pierce. Well, speaking of knowing your stuff, I know we got music playing. That means a break. Jimmy, hold on, and we'll polish this off on the other side. Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Yeah, we'd all love to change the world. It's going in a pretty bad direction. We may can do that, Jimmy, with a little concerted help here. Roger Sales back with you. Jimmy from Michigan on the other side of that little commercial break. And one of my students right there, Mr. Cody, and his thieves oil and stuff. And it's interesting. He's a student of mine. I actually know him personally because Susanna, his wife, is an Ecuadorian gal. And they have a beautiful home down here about, I don't know, a couple of miles from where I am right now. And Cody heard me talking on my show one day about thieves oil. And he'd never heard of it before. And he got investigating it. And now he's got a business going and he's advertising on RBN. So good for you, Cody. That stuff's good too, by the way. He sent me a couple of bottles of their different stuff. And I use it topically from time to time when I've got knee problems and other problems and rub it in. And it really helps. Okay. So pay attention to Cody's spot there. And also, I should say I echo with Mike Rivera, and if you feel like you get something from RBN, you ought to try and contribute if you can. I know times are tough for a lot of people, but the other side of that is you don't want this platform to go off the air. It's been here for a long time through a lot of adversity, okay? So anything you can do to help the network would be, I'm sure, appreciated by all. Jimmy, back to you. We were talking about the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You still with me, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can we change the subject just a little bit?
Well, yeah, I was just going to add something to that, and we can change the subject.
Okay,
no problem
ahead.
There. You know, I have a friend that's on the network I'm on, Eurofolk Radio, that I've interviewed several right. times on his program, named Andrew Hitchcock. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Andy or not. He wrote a book called Synagogue of Satan some years ago. He's a heck of a good guy.
Wow.
And Andy knows these people pretty darn well, okay? And his comment about them is the people that have an answer for everything. And I thought that was particularly interesting because in many respects, he's correct, okay? But they don't have an answer for this. They don't have an answer for you confronting them with their fraud and grasping your freedom and saying, I'm not in your grasp anymore. They stand mute, okay? Now, do you understand the saying, the old legal canon, silence deems consent? You know where that came from, Jimmy? You know where it came from?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting history. If you don't, if you do, the audience might not. It actually came from Henry VIII. In Henry VIII's time, and he was having great battles with the Pope because he wouldn't give him a divorce, and he wanted to have a male heir, and all he could generate was females, and he was trying to divorce these gals and kill them and everything else. And so he got real PO'd at the Pope. And so what he did was went out and did like one of these congressional committees, like a January the 6th committee, in essence. He went out and went through all the monasteries and compiled a really damning report on a lot of the things that were going on at that point, still going on in that area today with those folks. And he brought all of the bishops into a room, and he said, "You're either going to follow my laws or I'm going to cut your head off." And nobody said anything, and his statement was silence deems consent. That's where that came from, okay? And it still stands today. So anyway, the fact that they can't say anything to that affidavit, and it's so revealing on the fraud that they've committed here, they stand mute. If you really wanted to look at it technically, they've convicted themselves because they can't rebut that affidavit.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I mean, in a common law public court, they've convicted themselves because just that one simple statement, "I want to be a national instead of a citizen of the United States," revealed, well, the first layer of fraud it reveals is lack of full disclosure, because we know from their own policy statement that all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals, but they never ask you if you're a U.S. national. They only ask if you're a citizen of the United States. So there's lack of full disclosure right there. That's first layer of fraud. And then it just goes layer on layer on layer on layer all the way back to, in my mind, and I think I can prove, that the Civil War was fought to be able to get these two amendments into the Constitution so they could control the world with it 100 years later, which they do. And I learned something very interesting this week, Jimmy, on that very subject, Civil War, okay? After the Civil War, they kicked all the Southern states out of the Union. Here the Southern states had supposedly fought this war to secede. They wouldn't let them secede, and they win the war, and they kick them out. And the only way they let them back into the Union is if they ratified the 14th Amendment. More icing on the cake that they started that war to get these two amendments in the Constitution. So where'd you want to go otherwise? You said you had another issue.
Well, my question is really concerning 2 or 3 years ago when they had the COVID BS.
Yes, sir.
I took a payment from my 401k, and it went for 3 years. And this is my third year, ending in next X system. And I just want to get it paid and cancel the BS.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I'm not sure how this would have any effect on that. It was your 401k. It could have effect on the taxation if you remove it.
Right.
But I don't know that it'd have an effect on you paying it back. I do know it has an effect on Sam, though, because he hit another spot here. So we're going to have to take another short break and be back. You must have said something about 401k must have got Sam. We'll talk to you in a minute, Jim.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
All righty, let's see if we can get back to business here. Roger Sales, your host, with Jimmy from Michigan here having a little conversation. She said you had one other thing you wanted to bring up, Jimmy. What was that?
Just the taxes, Roger. It was a 401k, COVID-19. I took out the loan, got the tax breaks. I still next year's taxes. So under the old system, I still pay those, correct?
Yes, it's my understanding.
Right.
But so, have you filed an affidavit or not?
No, I'm getting ready to. I'm just trying to get my wife on board with that.
Right. Well, you don't have to have your wife on board to do it. I mean, there's certain situations where maybe it's advantageous to have one member in the system and one without. I don't know if that applies to you or not, but it's not necessarily that husband and wife do it together.
Well, I'm still under the old system because I have a chauffeur license.
Okay, so you got a CDL, huh?
No, not a CDL, just a chauffeur. I drive company trucks from time to time, and I've got to be licensed for commerce.
Okay. Well, yeah, because you're, in essence, it's a CDL because you're driving in commerce. That shouldn't have any effect on it. I mean, you know, I've got people that are professional truck drivers that have done this, and when they're driving their truck, they're in commerce, and when they park it and go home, they're not. They're traveling home. So it's no impediment here. That's the stickiest issue of this whole thing is driving licenses and driver's licenses. And we've been discussing the pros and cons and different options of addressing this for years, okay? And that's pretty much the conclusion we've come to. I think handling it, if you're not in a commercial capacity, is weaponizing your position on the back end and putting your DA and your local people on notice that that affidavit's filed, because all the traffic laws in your state and every state are only applying to residents. In fact, you know, when I was in paralegal school years ago, we had a small law library in there, and my roommate was into this, and he came home and he said, there's a section in the Georgia Code, Official Code of Georgia Annotated, they call it, in the residency section, and they've got a couple of paragraphs where they lay out the traditional rules for residency. If you're in the state longer than 30 days and this, that, and the other, and then there's another paragraph under it that says something. And then underneath of that is a one-sentence statement, and it says the term resident is a rebuttable presumption. Now, if that's in the Georgia code, it's in your code of your state, too. And the reason I say that is they make all of these codes, you know, like the Uniform Commercial Code, the Uniform Building Code, the Uniform Electrician's Code. And they make those where they comply in all 50 states so they can control it from the top down. So I know if that statement's in the Georgia code annotated, then it's in your code too. And anybody else, if you want to go to the trouble to go looking through your state statute, I'm sure you'll find that there. Okay.
Right.
So, okay, so you got a chauffeur's license. You use it sometimes. You're driving in commerce. When you're not doing that, you're not. But right. The best and effective way is to put your local district attorney and the other. We got four people that we suggest. I don't ever tell anybody what to do. Four things that we suggest people put on notice on the back end of this. That's after your affidavit's filed with the Secretary of State. So you're going to go in, and here's what's going on technically, okay? You've never had access to the common law before. The field's always been slanted 45 degrees or higher. When you file the affidavit, it levels the playing field, and for the first time in your life, you're going to have access, true, genuine access, to the common law, okay? So what we're doing here is once we remove ourselves from the system with the Secretary of State, you're going to go back and weaponize your position in your local area where you live. And the only way that you can do that is by utilizing a legal process, a legal canon, really, if you will, called due process. Due process, everybody's heard that phrase, okay? Due process is very simple. Notice and the right to be heard. But the first thing is notice. So you've already severed your relationship. Now you're going to put the local people where you live on notice that that's been done, okay? So the way we suggest people do it is you take a copy of your affidavit, and you send it to the Attorney General of your state. Boy, you got a humdinger up there in Michigan, okay? Vegetarian, all right? So you send it to the Attorney General in your state, and then at the bottom of the cover letter, you copy your local officials. The DA is probably the most important one, sheriff, chief of police, if you've got one. And the fourth one that we've added relatively recently is your public health official. Because they tipped their hand this year up in Washington State with proposed legislation. It was defeated, but in the legislation, they were basically putting the public health official of your county on par with the sheriff and having right. The powers of deputization and stuff put in their hands, okay? I'm sure they were trying to set that up for mandatory jabs, all right? The legislation failed, but they tipped their hand. So I suggest you put your local public health official on notice, too. Now, here's what happens when you do that. You send it to the Attorney General, and you send copies to all the people that you've CC'd at the bottom. So now they're linked together under the laws of agency, which is a whole body of laws that deals with agents and agency relationships, okay? Real estate agents, insurance agents, government agents, because they work for agencies, don't they? Okay. And so now should you get a ticket, hypothetically, should you get a ticket there and you've already put your DA on notice, if he files that into the magistrate traffic court because those laws don't apply to you anymore because you're not a resident, then he's acting outside of his delegated responsibilities because those are the only people he can charge with that. And now, because your local DA didn't adhere to that, he loses his cloak of immunity because he's acted outside of his delegated responsibilities, and now he becomes personally liable. Okay? And if you've got this done properly, because the attorney general was noticed, the attorney general loses their cloak of immunity and becomes personally liable also. How about that?
That works for me, Roger. Thank you.
Okay. Well, so, you know, I don't know of anybody that's taken any of them to court. That might be quite a challenge, but theoretically, legally, if they act outside of their delegated responsibilities and they have set limits they can work within, they lose that cloak of immunity. Okay.
Right.
So, anyway, that's just something for the general audience. And up at the top of the cover letter, you put two things. Very simple cover letters. I don't have any form.
Yep.
I don't have any even samples of them out there. Because I want you guys to do something on your own. I'm not charging you anything for all this information that I've spent 30 years of my teachers, over 100 years between the three of us, being able to simply tell you this stuff on the radio here today, okay? I don't charge you for it, and I expect you to do something because freedom ain't free. I know free is in the word freedom, but it's not free. And this is your contribution. You pay me by learning the information. And then all of us are advanced because when you file this affidavit, nothing changes. You know, you go to work and they're not going to pull you aside. Jimmy, God, you filed that affidavit. Congratulations. That's not going to happen. Okay. The world just doesn't change. You've got to be the change. And the only way you change is by inputting the information because now you got a fertile sod for your freedom and your re-empowerment to grow out of. Now, if you get in a position where you got to defend the situation for some reason, whatever it may be, you know enough information to stand up to this person and go, no, I'm not that. I'm this. And here's why. Okay. And you can also explain it to other people. And even what may be the most important part of all this is the information is out there now. And when this thing crashes, and it's going to crash, okay, when this thing crashes, we got correct information to rebuild on, and we know the loopholes that they used, and we can close them, okay? So there's about three or four important reasons for you to learn the information. And the most important, really, outside of that one, is the fact that that's where your re-empowerment comes from. Because now you're back in connection with God and God's laws, which you were supposed to have at birth and were stolen from you, and it's a progress of personal re-empowerment. Now, I saw this happen in me, okay? And I couldn't identify it, but I could feel it. But when I got on the air and started teaching other people this stuff, I could see it in them. And when I could see it in them, I could recognize it in me. And that's how I came to that conclusion. But there's definitely a re-empowerment process here, and it doesn't start, again, if you don't know the information. So that's the most critical thing, and that's the payment that I ask you to do.
Okay. I really send out prayers for Teresa. That's why I didn't contact you the other day.
Boy, that was sad on Saturday.
It's a hardship case.
Man, I'm telling you, that one's. I get so many heartbreaking emails and stuff from people in these situations, and it just breaks my heart. But there's not much I can do about it, you know.
Right.
If I'd have got you a couple of years ago, you probably wouldn't be in that situation. But our paths didn't cross back then, you know.
I know. I'm still praying hard for her. But
yep. I felt so sorry for the gal with MS. She was evidently a very accomplished violinist.
Yeah, that was Teresa. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I was thinking there's two Teresas. There's another one. I might be getting them mixed up. I get people mixed up. Now there's so many of you, you know. But the one in California, this gal I called in for the first time Saturday, that's a hard $3.7 million IRS deal with no preceding paperwork, no nothing. Just all of a sudden you owe us $3.7 million because she lives on a prime piece of real estate with live active water in California. And the Mendocino, California didn't have water for a good part of last year, and they're after her water rights, evidently. And she goes back, the land is held under an old grant, too, and they can't get at it, you know. So it's just all these horror stories. You know, I don't know what to do. The only thing I tell her to do is just try to go to some tax professional that deals with these people. I can't help you at that stage.
Right.
So, you know, if I can get you before, we can probably do something. But if you're already dancing with these creeps, you're in it already, okay?
Okay.
So, anyway, all right, Jimmy, well, thanks. All right, thank
God
you, Jimmy.
God bless you.
Okay, appreciate it. Same to
and,
you.
And I'll probably see you on Jitsi tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll be there. Lord,
appreciate it.
Good
thank
Lord
you,
willing, and the Creek Indians don't rise. We'll be there tomorrow.
Was that the Creek or the Cree?
No, it's the Creek. Call them the Creek Indians down there in Georgia.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you, Jimmy. Okay, man. Sam, you got somebody else called in there? He did. Well, Richard, call back, man. All right. Well, I'll open the invite to anybody else that wants to call in. I'll even give the number again, Sam. How about that? 512-248-8252-HIKE. So, you know, usually got a whole bunch of people lined up here with questions. We don't have that tonight. Have I answered everybody's questions now? Everybody knows what's going on, I guess, right, Sam? Even Sam's not answering me. Okay. Well, let's see. What can we talk about here till one of y'all want to call in? You going to leave me with an hour and 15 minutes of solo radio here? I come on here to take calls and answer y'all's questions. Either nobody wants to call, the phone system's gone down, or else I've been such a good teacher, nobody's got any questions, and I don't think that's the case. So, okay, well, let's see. What can we talk about here then? The reason I do this is what I'll tell you for one thing. I've told you this before, but I'll repeat it. I do this because it's my duty. Because over all the things that I've learned over all these years and this re-empowerment thing I was alluding to a minute ago, I've really, really understood the basics of law of rights and duties. And for some reason, I've been tapped to do this. And I follow the old watchman on the wall concept. I'll get to him. Don't hang up again, Richard. I follow the watchman on the wall prophecy from the Old Testament. If you see danger coming, you're a watchman on the wall. If you see danger coming, you're supposed to tell your fellow man. If they don't listen, the blood's on their hands. But if you don't tell them, the blood's on your hands. And I know how important this is, okay? I know it a heck of a lot better than any of you do, okay? And I'm talking about the importance of it, because you got to sift through all this stuff to get down to the basic essence of this, and it takes some time, okay? And I understand it perfectly, and if I don't let you know, at least you got a choice, like Jimmy's wife. If she doesn't want to do it or she's scared, don't do it, okay? I want people that want to move forward here, want their freedom, are willing to learn the information, and help spread the information to others. Because as my teacher told us from that stage so many times, the only way I can protect my liberty is to help you protect yours. And I'm all about my liberty, okay? So from that respect, it's a selfish ordeal for me. But under the other is I'm letting you know that you have a choice you didn't know you had, most likely. And so the blood's off my hands. If you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, that's okay with me. Sam, I think we got a couple of people lined up there. Let's get to them before they hang up and run away. Paul in New York. I believe I know this gentleman. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I believe you do. How you doing, Roger?
I'm hanging in there best we can on a Sunday evening, Paul.
Yeah, that was really interesting what we dug up about Social Security and the benefit as opposed to what is essentially an annuity.
Well, I've been messing with this for a long time, and I never could get that clarification, and Daryl helped clear it up for me, and I think for us. I thought that was a real important point.
Yeah, the difference was there's RSDI, and there's SSDI, and there's Social Security, and those are all vested payments. Those are the three that you pay into, and then you get, you know, your monthly check. Then there's SSI, which essentially amounts to a federal welfare program. And that, if you're on SSI, then being a national, you're basically broke.
So, yeah. Okay, because that truly is a benefit. You didn't contribute to the fund for 40 quarters or drawing funds out of it, so that really truly is a benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
The violinist, her name was Denise.
Thank you.
The girl that's fighting the IRS, that's Teresa.
Boy, that was a horror story. And I know she just found us Friday, and so she was on the Saturday show with this horror story of hers, unfortunately. And she hadn't even had a chance, because it's the weekend, to get a hold of any of those people we pointed her to. So we'll find out as we go forward. But, yeah, that's a horror story right there. What amazes me of her story is that she didn't get any of the preparatory paperwork. You know, they always roll up with what I think, and John Benson, my teacher, thought was a confirmatory writing, that little letter that says, you know, when you haven't filed, such as she had not. It wasn't her. It was her person that had been filing for 25 years that dropped the ball in 2018 and didn't file, right. And they didn't tell her they didn't file. Okay, and then they filed the next year. So they're just coming after her for that year, but according to her memory, they didn't get any of those initial paper tax from them. We haven't received your tax return for the year 2018. If you've already filed this, please disregard this notice. If not, we might ask you to come in with some of your books and records. And that usually is what my teacher thought, anyway, John Benson, and I never found him to be wrong, was a commercial document called a confirmatory writing. It's in specialty contracts of the UCC. And so you send that, most of our people throw it in the trash can. I don't want to hear from these creeps. And what you don't know is that that's a certain specialty type of contract where it's between merchants who are advised to know the writing and the contents of the writing. Okay. And if you do not expressly deny that contract in 10 days, the contract is deemed to be accepted. And I think, and John thought, and I think he's correct, that that's how you're getting somebody that hasn't filed a 1040, a contract, into that contractual obligation, is with that little trick on the front end. And she had not she said she didn't remember receiving any of those. So if that's correct, then they've accelerated the process and gone right to the how much you owe stage without the preparatory stuff. And that doesn't make sense to me unless it's this situation where they're so hell-bent for leather to get her land and to get access to that water that's on the land that she's granted into by an old graph from the time of the statehood of California. Okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, situation.
I've been talking to her in Jitsi pretty much most of the day, and I found out a couple of interesting facts. The notice that she got from the IRS, all she did was this is garbage, fix this on a post-it note, and mailed their original paperwork back to them. That's how she answered that presentment.
And that doesn't sound like the denial of a contract to me.
Right. And now it's like 11 days since this happened, so we don't know what's going to go on.
Oh, well, that's the thing that she's sent. Oh, okay, so you're talking about the notice she got recently.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know. We'll have to fool through this, and this is not my area of expertise. Just like I told her on Saturday, I pointed her in a direction, and she needs to talk to those folks.
Well, what they did was they went straight to filing a dummy return for her and then estimated her tax based on the fact that she used to be in property development and she flipped like 159 houses and had rental property and everything else for so many years. They were used to getting a bunch of money from her, And now all of a sudden, 2018, she has an injury and she makes no income.
Right.
That
yeah, well,
flag waved.
Could be. You know, again, this is totally out of my ballywick. Once you start dancing with these people, I can't help you. Okay?
Yeah.
But they've already assessed her. They probably haven't put a dummy return in yet. They probably just threatened her with the number. Okay? So we'll see.
Yeah.
And I feel real sorry for her because she's a nice gal.
Yeah, they just threw out a huge number to scare her. And in the same document, they went from like high 5 millions and they went down to like 3.7. So
yeah,
like,
right.
While she's reading the document, she's thinking they're giving her a break. She might as well pay it. How ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, anybody gets hit with anybody hits a threat from these people at $3.7 million, it'll get your attention, I would imagine. So, okay, Paul, anything else here? I think there's a couple other folks on hold.
Well, what I would hope is that she would just send a letter to the IRS asking for a detailed accounting of what they think she owes her or she owes them.
I'm gonna let her talk to the people I advise her to talk to, and they can hammer out. That's totally out of my ballywick.
Okay. Yeah, she's going nuts trying to get a hold of them. Hopefully, she'll have better luck.
Well, she's not going to get them on the weekend. She's got to wait till business opens again tomorrow. So hopefully, maybe she'll do that. And she's on the West Coast, so when she joins us, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. They probably aren't even at work yet. So, anyway, we'll find out as the days go forward.
Yep, that we will.
All right,
great
Mr.
show,
Paul.
Roger. I'm enjoying
Thank you.
It.
Well, we're trying to double shuffle through here. Let me see who else is next in line, Paul. And thanks for calling in. I'll see you tomorrow. Dawn in Arizona. Hi, Dawn.
Oh, hi, Roger. Remember I talked to you last week? anyway, I'm ready to file my affidavit, but I want to ask you a quick question about the cover letter.
All right. Well, so, I'll be happy to answer it, but we don't have much time for Sam's going to interrupt us again with the break at the top of the hour. We'll get through as much as we can. Go ahead.
Okay, it's really quick. So when I send the affidavit and my DS-82 renewal for the passport together, do I send it to the processing center,
there'll be instructions on where to send it depending on where you are in the country, I believe, on
okay,
the 82.
Okay,
that's
a
renewal form.
Okay.
You don't have to include your birth certificate the second time, and you don't have to go sign it in front of somebody the second time. But
okay.
If you've got an active passport or one that's recently expired, and I'm not sure how the term limit recently falls into, but recently expired, you're going to have to send that in with your package. Okay.
This
for the rest of the audience, too, so let me just educate everybody here. Okay.
Oh, okay, sure.
They'll
sure.
send your active, if it's an active passport, they'll send it back to you immediately in return mail. Then they'll process your new renewal with the affidavit, and they'll send you back the card or whatever you ordered when that's finished processing. So that's the process. Okay. Now, what was your other question?
The other question is what to write on the cover letter. So I took some of your notes that
cover
you gave
letter?
Us.
Cover letter? Hold on. We're going to be interrupted. I need to know which cover letter and to who, and we'll get the specifics on the other side of this little short break that Sam is whipping on us here. See you in a minute.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and-lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.